And today we're going to look at the thought of hope. And so I pray that as we worship together that God will break the bread of life to us through the word, and that we will be strengthened as we hear his message to us. I want to ask you, how many of you have been asked a question up to this point? What do you want for Christmas? Anybody been asked that question? What do you want for Christmas? Yeah, there's been several of you that's been asked that. Well, how did you answer? It'd be interesting to hear what some of you might have said. We all have things that we desire or want for Christmas. If you haven't been asked that question yet, let me ask it to you right now. What do you want for Christmas? Now, when I asked my grandchildren that question, they got so excited, and each of them began to talk over top of each other, and they began to tell me all of the things. And as I was writing the list, I just gave it up because there were so many things they were trying to put on it. And I'm sure that the gifts that I was writing down, that they felt that if they got that gift, that it was going to make the most happy Christmas ever. They believed it would bring such fulfillment and enjoyment. And you know, as children, we often look expectantly for the games and the gadgets and the surprises and all the wrapped gifts and boxes at Christmas time. However, as we grow older and mature more wisely, what we look for as children changes from all those childish delights to something more. At some point, the desires that we want become intangible. Things that you can't wrap up. They're things that you can't find in a box. You want something more precious. You want time with people that you love. You want contentment with who you are. You want to feel good about yourself and what you're doing and what's ahead of you in the future. You want some peace and quiet, maybe. Perhaps a little rest, too. And then, without knowing exactly when it happens, you experience a longing in your soul that moves you to even deeper concerns for Christmas. We want things that no one other than God can really give us. Things of deep meaning, value. Gifts. We want gifts like hope and peace and joy and love. And ultimately, we say, you can have this world. Just give me Jesus. So what do you want for Christmas? If you'll let me. And I'm going to jump to the end of my message this morning. And I'm going to tell you what you really want for Christmas. It is hope. Do you have hope about life this morning? For yourself, as you sit here in this service, do you have the hope that God intended for you to have? Too often, hope can be difficult to get a handle on, to grasp. We're all faced with situations where there seems to be little objective reason for hope. We find ourselves messed up in a job or no job at all. We find ourselves lacking hope because of our marriages and struggles and arguments and fights. We find that we're having trouble with relationships, with members of our family, with our children, with extended family and others. Some of us even face seemingly hopeless medical or financial problems. I wouldn't dare say that some of you right now may be in a situation that seems hopeless. You don't know what you're going to do. And you're tempted to say, you know, I'm just about ready to give up. I quit. I'm not handling this very well. How do you hold on with hope during these times and circumstances which seem so stressful, so difficult, and so without answers? Well, how do you do that? How do you face these situations? I have the answer. Put your hope in God. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the hope of Christmas. Trusting in God for answers. Trusting in God for the help that you can't give yourself. No one else can give it. I can't give it. But God can, and God wants to, and God will. You know, for me to say that, just put your hope in God, you might say, well, you know, that's pretty obvious. But too often we're willing to seek help from anyone in anything before we turn to God. We do it without realizing we're not being faithful. In other words, God becomes the appeal of the last resort. When we find that nothing else is working, nothing else is helping, after we've exhausted every other opinion and option, then we go to God. Often, if the problem is financial, we don't look to God first. We look to a lender or maybe a generous friend. We rack our brains trying to think of any way we can put our hands on more cash. And when the problem is within our families or relational, a conflict with a spouse or a child or a family member, we'll buy self-help books on marriage or parenting, and we will score articles on the web. We'll listen to Dr. Phil. And then at the last resort, then we will turn to God for help. We will try everything we can think of, and then if nothing else is working, we will say, you know, all I can do is pray. And what's wrong with that? That's backwards. We should go to God first, not last. We should be praying in the beginning. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 33. He said, no king is saved by the size of his army, and no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Psalm 33. Now, what is the psalmist saying? That kings should not have large armies? That their warriors should not ride on horses? No. He's saying that even if a king has a large, well-equipped army, it can't guarantee success. If he's relying on that for victory, if his hope is in those things, he'll be defeated. Our hope should be in God, not in our strength, not in the strength of some army, not in the strength of other things. Our hope should be in God. And when we place our hope in God, God smiles. It pleases God. He delights in rescuing those who place their hope in Him. And the psalm says, His eyes are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in Him, His unfailing love. Their hope is in Him to deliver them. God becomes the help. God becomes the shield. God is more valuable to us than many armies or anything else. But do we go to God first in our times of need? Now, I'm not saying that you don't go to the doctor when you're sick. And I don't say that you don't go to the bank when you need money. Or that you don't see a counselor to help you work out conflicts in your marriage or relationship. I'm saying that you don't put your hope in these things. You put your hope in God. He may use a doctor or a banker or a counselor, but your hope is in God, not them. You don't trust the doctor to take care of you. You trust in God to care for you through the doctor. Seems very subtle, but it's a world of difference. Remember, it's not the size of the king's army that matters. It's not the size of your wallet, the skill of the doctor, or the insight of the counselor that matters. What matters is whether you're placed in your trust and hope in God. Here's what to do. When your situation starts to seem hopeless, you stop and you pray. You pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this. But God, my trust and my hope are in You, because You know. And I'm relying on You to resolve this situation. Please show me what You would have me do in this situation. Amen. What will happen if you do that? What will happen if you go to God in that kind of soul-searching prayer first? Can I guarantee that nothing unpleasant, nothing painful will happen? No. Can I guarantee that the outcome will be what you desire? No. Our hope is not in what we hope God will do. Our hope is not in some specific result that we want. Our hope is in God Himself. We trust Him to do what is best. And that may not be what we expect. That may not be what we desire. That may not be what we want. But what I can guarantee is that God will prove Himself faithful to you. God will be with you. And that He will not disappoint you. You won't regret putting your trust and your hope in Him, because God will take care of you, even if you don't understand at the time what that means. In Isaiah 49:23, it says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in Me will not be disappointed." One caution. One thing I need to warn you of. If you would pray this way, if you put your hope in God this way, if He is first, this doesn't mean that God's goodness and wisdom are always immediately evident. It doesn't mean that you would rise from your knees, from your prayer, and say, "Now I see, now I understand, now I know that God is doing what He has promised to do." No, it won't necessarily be immediately evident. Sometimes it's only looking back in retrospect that we can see how God has been caring for us, even in those times when we didn't recognize that He was there at all. that he was providing for us, that he was protecting us, that he had a plan for us. Sometimes when we're right in the thick of things, we can't see the evidence of God working at all. But if we continue to trust him, to place our hope in him alone, we will not be disappointed. Now, you might ask, Pastor Jerry, how can I have this kind of hope this morning? Because I do need it. Our scripture lesson answered that by saying, as we read together this morning, it said Mary had been visited by an angel, Gabriel, who gave her this promise. And this is what the angel said to her. He said, You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are going to give him the name Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And his kingdom will never end. In other words, when Jesus was born, God made it clear that this baby Jesus, was the one for whom the world had been waiting and watching and hoping and needing ever since the first man and woman had come on the world and had sinned. God had given a promise that he was going to send the Messiah, that he was going to send the Christ, a Savior, a Deliverer, a King. What awe and what hope must have filled Mary's heart? What hope in knowing that as she had been given this message from the angel Gabriel, that she was going to have a child that was the one in whom all of God's promises would be fulfilled. Knowing that this Jesus was the one in whom God's people would find forgiveness of sin, would find the transformation of life, would find the fulfillment of life, the one in whom they would find true and lasting peace, the one whose power would establish an eternal kingdom of justice and righteousness and love and mercy and grace. This child would be the hope of the world. He would be your hope. He would be my hope. Where's your hope this morning? Is it in what you are doing for yourself? Take care of things? Is your hope in others that they will take care of you? Or is your hope in Jesus? Maybe we need to pray about that today. And if you're ready, you can do so right now, at this moment, by praying with me this prayer. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I admit that sometimes not only do I have little hope, but I have a lot of baggage in my life. I am the reason for my own sinfulness and sometimes my own brokenness, and I recognize that you desire to change that for me today. I want you to be my Savior. Please, save me from my sins. I need your help and your hope. And thank you for coming to our world at Christmas, and then for dying in my place on the cross to forgive me for my sins and to give me the hope of heaven. God, I believe and I receive you into my life anew this day. I want Jesus to be born in my heart again this season. I accept your free gift of salvation. And if there's anything in my life that needs to change, please change me as I surrender to you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you want hope this Christmas, then you must welcome Jesus as the reason for Christmas. I pray that you will want for Christmas this year, that all that you will want for Christmas this year will be hope. And your hope can only be found in Jesus, the one we celebrate for Christmas. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you now to join me as we stand together. Sisters, I thank God for you. I love you. I love you in the name of Christ. God loves you. So go from this place and be people of hope. Let hope live in your heart and share the hope of Christ with all that you meet. And as you go out into the wonder of God's creation, share the hope that is within you, and that is the love of God. Go in peace, and God goes with you.